Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. We are joined today by Olympic silver medalist Lindsay Fry, who is currently working down in Arizona, her home state, with a small fries program. And we're talking to Lindsay with the Girls Hockey Weekend right around the corner. And so, Lindsay, thanks a lot for taking the time today.
And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you know, obviously you've been at the forefront of girls hockey for a long time, both as a player and now as a coach and in an administrator. Things like Girls Hockey Weekend, what do you think that does to bring a little bit more notoriety to the sport and hopefully get more girls playing?
Well, you know, being down in Arizona, I think we are especially victim to the response when a girl says that she plays hockey. We often get, you know, oh, I didn't even know. First of all, I didn't even know we had hockey in Arizona. Second of all, I didn't even know girls played hockey. So we definitely still face that. So I think things like Girls Hockey Weekend are really important, not just here, but around the country. Because I think it definitely raises that awareness, gives the girls an opportunity to showcase the fact that they play and to kind of share that with their friends and have that special day that they can call their own.
Absolutely. So you are, if I am not mistaken, the first Arizonan to win an Olympic medal in hockey. Could you just talk a little bit about your experience playing with Team USA and how that has, you know, how that's impacted your life?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, when I was a little girl, I didn't even know what the Olympics were because obviously being here in Arizona, we don't have a lot of winter sports. So the Winter Olympics aren't really on anyone's radar when they're little kids. So I actually thought I was going to play for the Arizona Coyotes someday when I was little. That's kind of what my dream was. And then when the Olympics were in Salt Lake City in 2002, that was the first time that kind of the awareness was around it. It was kind of in the southwestern part of the country, and people in Arizona were starting to really talk about it. And that's when I first learned as this little girl that the Olympics really was the pinnacle of girls and women's hockey, and that's kind of when my dream changed. I think for me, you know, I didn't realize until I got to college, to be completely honest, how hard you really have to work and how dedicated you have to be to actually make that dream a reality. And, you know, it's interesting because growing up in Arizona, I never really knew that things were different, right? I thought everybody around the country went to practice twice a week and had games on the weekend. And I kind of thought that was normal. I didn't realize until I was on the national team and you see players who have just phenomenal hands and phenomenal abilities in and around the net, and you realize, wow, these kids could get ice time for $5. You know, for us, an hour of stick time is 20. Or those kids could freeze a pond in their backyard because they lived in cold places like Boston or Minnesota or North Dakota. And I didn't have that, and I didn't really realize that until I got to the Olympics. And so for me, I mean, it was just kind of this whirlwind experience of, oh my gosh, like I'm this little kid from the desert of Chandler, Arizona, and for me to have the opportunity to be here is just incredible. And I think for me, the highlight of my Olympic experience really was having my family there and being able to give that whole moment back to them, because at the end of the day, I really think the only reason that I was able to do that and was able to go on and play in Sochi was because I had so much support while I was here. And I always tell people, you know, as soon as they put those medals around our necks, I kind of looked up at my family. I knew exactly where they were sitting, and it was just out of a movie. I just started kind of having these flashes of everybody who had made an impact in my life up to that point, my coaches, my teammates, parents of my teammates, everybody. And I just realized in that moment, you know what, this is what I want to do. I want to go back. I want to go back home, and I want to be able to be that person for another little girl so that I'm not the last person out of Arizona to go on and play at the Olympic level for girls and women's hockey. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not just focusing on Arizona. I'm focusing on all kinds of communities that are otherwise deemed as non-traditional hockey states or hockey communities, and see what I can do there. And that's kind of been my life's mission and everything that I've been doing with my professional life since I graduated from Harvard. And it's really been an incredible journey.
Absolutely. So who, growing up, who were some of, were there any particular players who were role models for you that you just really kind of watched play? And I know that, you know, I mean, obviously girls and women's hockey has come a long way in terms of the exposure and the ability to watch games. But back when you were a little girl and you mentioned Salt Lake City in 2002, but were there any players in particular that you really kind of glommed onto and really, really followed?
Yeah. So, you know, it's super interesting. So like, if you ask that question to Kendall Coyne, she'll tell you it was Cammy Granato. That's who she admired, grew up loving everything. For me, I love Paul Kariya and Timo Solani and Shane Doan and all those guys, because even with the 2002 Olympics being here, I still didn't really know much about the women who were playing. You know, that was kind of pre-internet. You know, it was a little harder to get girls hockey or women's hockey on the TV, and my awareness is still so low about girls and women's hockey. And I think that that's something that, you know, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to be that role model for the girls that I never really had growing up. And I don't think it's just on an Olympic level, right? I mean, I think there are people in Minnesota and New England, you know, girls who are my age, who I played with, who had the opportunity to go 20 minutes down the road and watch a women's college hockey game. You know, when I was younger, that was a completely foreign concept. The first college hockey rink I ever saw was when I was a junior in high school and went and visited University of North Dakota. So my world was so small and confined, and I'm really trying to work to open the eyes of these girls. I'm trying to encourage them, you know, hey, go online and watch CWHL games and NWHL games. There's no reason why in today's day and age you guys shouldn't be doing that. It's so easy. It's so convenient. But I know this year especially, all of these little girls who I coach were watching the Olympic game, and they definitely got, I think, probably one of the most inspirational showings they probably could have had. So that was amazing.
Oh yes, no question about it. You know, you mentioned before, you know, the role models down in Arizona, and you know, and everybody. I think we're starting to shed that old term, non-traditional markets. When a player like Lindsey Fry makes it to the Olympics, and Austin Matthews, another Arizona native, makes it to the NHL, what do you think that does for a little boy or girl in Arizona?
Well, I think that, you know, hockey really boomed after Austin was having success on the boys' side. To be completely honest, when I talked to a lot of my girls, you know, either A, they were too young to really remember me, and B, you know, a lot of girls I talked to didn't watch the 2014 Olympics. They didn't really know about me at the time. I'm specifically speaking about Arizona girls. So, you know, it's so interesting, because I think that even speaks further to the fact that, you know, they had an Arizona girl at the Olympics and there were still hockey families who didn't have a clue about it. And it's, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the beast, I think, sometimes. So I think now when you explain to these little girls, you know, where I've been and what I've done, and then their eyes start to light up. But a lot of them didn't have any idea. So I don't think we're really experiencing, you know, girls hockey has grown a lot. I think we're up 150% from, you know, three or 5 years ago. And I think a lot of that has more to do with how invested the Arizona Coyotes are in growing the game. They've been doing girls hockey nights for the last 4 or 5 years. They've been doing girls hockey clinics. And now that we've got Small Fries going and I have the opportunity to be kind of the face of that program, we're just seeing it explode. It's incredible.
Wow. Wow. Well, hey, you mentioned the dramatic finish in Pyeongchang and the U.S. women winning the gold medal. Obviously, these are still a lot of your close friends, your sisters, so to speak. And, your thoughts as they finally got over that hump?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I feel comfortable saying this because some of the players will admit this too, but watching that final game, I mean, we were not playing very well the first couple periods, and I've been in those shoes. I know exactly how that feels, especially coming off of losing in such a tight game the last time. I think I could see the nervousness, and everybody was gripping their stick too tight. And I think what was my personal favorite thing about that game was when the third period came around. It was the third and fourth lines that I really think generated the energy and got the team back where it needed to be. I thought the Lammers played phenomenal hockey. I thought, you know, Gigi and Megan played phenomenal hockey, and as somebody who was that, you know, third, fourth line player, that to me was really exciting to watch. And when they went in the locker room in between the third and the overtime, I looked at the people I was watching them with, and I said, they're going to win this game. And it was because we had been there 4 years before, but we were on the other side. We had something to lose last time, and now the tables had kind of turned, and it was Canada's turn to be back on their heels. And when we came out in that overtime, I mean, everybody was just flying. So, and you'll if you talk to some of the players, they'll even tell you, I mean, their confidence levels were up so high. I was with Danny Camernese a couple weeks ago, and she was saying that the energy on the bench, it was just calm. Everybody was so calm during that shootout because they just knew it in their hearts that they had it. And then how freaking cool that the game ended with Maddie having the final say in net. That I loved. So it was an awesome game and you know, true redemption, and I think they deserved it. And, obviously wish we could have pulled that off in Sochi, but I think it made the moment even sweeter for them this year.
I totally agree with you, totally. Obviously, as you mentioned before, you know, went to Harvard University and graduated. Is that, you know, obviously you could have probably done a lot of things in life. Obviously, as smart as you are, and going to an unbelievable institution like Harvard. But when is it that you knew that you really I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit before, but your true calling was to go back home to Arizona and to stay involved in hockey?
Well, I started up my business, Lindsay Fry Hockey, right after I got out of Harvard. And to be completely honest, when I started it, I thought, okay, I'm going to do a camp in Arizona and a camp in Colorado for a couple years, and, you know, we'll call it good. That kind of grew by accident because I just started realizing, wow, there are all these other places like Arizona where there are girls playing hockey and nobody's going there and running camps and giving them the opportunity to see an Olympic medal or to, you know, learn from an Olympic level player. And so I just started Googling the most random places I could think of. I started Googling Albuquerque girls hockey, Montana girls hockey, South Dakota girls hockey, and that's kind of how that developed to my passion spanning beyond just growing the game in Arizona. But I think also too, I felt this moral obligation to give back to the sport that had given me the opportunity to go to Harvard and do all those other things. And I think I kind of in my head made a 10-year commitment that I was gonna focus on, you know, helping grow the game for 10 years, and then I was going to kind of go on to something else. But I've recently realized that, you know, I also got my master's at ASU. I finished that up in May, and I got my MBA. So I'm a strategist. I love strategy. I love figuring out how to solve problems. I always have. And to me, this is such a fun problem to solve, right? It's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that I have a lot of expertise in. And I get to use all of these things that I learned at Harvard, that I learned when I was getting my master's degree. And for me now, it's more than just a moral obligation. And frankly, I find it just this incredibly fun problem to wake up and try to tackle every single day, growing girls hockey. So I don't know how long I'm going to be in it. Right now I'm working with the Arizona Coyotes, and I'm hoping to continue to rise up in that organization, not only helping them with girls hockey, but, you know, they kind of face a similar problem. How do we build a successful franchise in a desert state? And so hopefully I'll be able to expand and help them start solving some of those problems. So that's kind of my motivation. My motivation out of college was never to say, oh, I have a Harvard degree, now I'm going to go work on Wall Street and make a bunch of money. For me, the Harvard degree was really so that I could go on and do whatever I was passionate about and make a living out of it, and that's what I get to do every day. So I'm really happy with where I'm at, and I love what I do.
Can you go into a little bit more depth about working with the Coyotes, some of the other things that you do with them, and how has the relationship that you have with the Coyotes made your life's work, this mission, this calling, as you call it, how has it made it easier for you to accomplish those goals?
Yeah, so the Arizona Coyotes organization is phenomenal, and they are extremely supportive of girls and women's hockey. I think a lot of that can be attributed to their amateur hockey director, Matt Schott. I've known Matt since I was a little girl. He's not a dad. He doesn't have a sister. He, he grew up playing hockey, but by all, the boxes to be checked, he had no reason to be passionate about fighting for girls' hockey development within the Coyotes, and he did. It is one of his biggest passions, growing girls and women's hockey. So, even while I was still in college, he was the one who was advocating, let's bring Lindsay out, let's have her do girls' clinics, let's have her come and speak to the girls, let's have her drop the puck at a game. So he really was kind of the initiator for my relationship with the Coyotes. And I even have some of my Olympic teammates who, live in Chicago or live in Buffalo with, some of these more popular teams saying, how did you get this relationship with the Coyotes? How did you develop such an awesome thing there? Do they pay you for these events? Do they do all those things? And I'm like, yes, they take such good care of me, and they value me like you wouldn't believe. So I have been doing those types of things with them for about 3 or 4 years. And Matt and I, throughout that time, had been talking about, we got to do some sort of girls-only program, something dedicated just to the girls. And it finally kind of came to fruition last year. We piloted a girls' development program called the Small Fries. And then this summer in April, we had our first official launch of that program. And we ended up having about 56 girls go through that program this summer. They started in the Little Howlers program, which is the Coyotes Learn to Play program, and then they come to us. And we build up their confidence. We let them play with the other girls. They have that social experience. We teach them, body contact. So when they go back out with the boys, they're not afraid. They're aggressive. They love it, and they love the game more. And the conversion rates that we're seeing now with girls hockey is incredible. So to answer your question, I think the Coyotes, not only are they investing financially, but they're investing in building the girls hockey community with what they're doing with that money. They're empowering me to run this program. They are empowering me to bring in the women's college programs here between ASU and Grand Canyon University. So we actually have an all-female staff for the Small Fries. So we talked about role models earlier. now all of a sudden we've got these 40 coaches who the Coyotes certified this year with USA Hockey out there helping these girls, and now they see this pipeline that I never got to see when I was little. They see, wow, I could go on and play college hockey at Arizona State. How freaking cool is that, right?
Right.
So they've just been amazing. They have never treated me as a woman. They've treated me as a very knowledgeable hockey player who also has some business expertise and can help them really develop their fan base and help them, you know, develop girls hockey here in this state. So they're incredible. I love working with them, and I'll probably be working with them for a long time.
Oh, that is great. And then just my last thing to wrap it up is just where do you see the program going? So you got the Little Howlers, and then you've got the Small Fries. Where do you envision the next step in the overall development of girls hockey in Arizona? Where do you see that?
Yeah, so right now we are kind of running our pilot for the next step for Small Fries, which is called the Arizona Kachinas. They're doing a once-a-week skate with us, and they're also playing on their co-ed teams. I'm a huge advocate for girls playing boys or co-ed hockey until they're 12. I think you just develop more aggression, you develop more skills. You know, I think sometimes you're not distracted by the social aspect of an all-girls team. However, I think one of the things that's really important and something that I kind of missed out on is I think it's important that you continue to play with the girls at least to some capacity from the time you're in Small Fries all the way through when you have to exclusively switch over to girls. The reason being is that it's kind of become status quo here for girls to leave when they get to high school. And granted, I was one of those girls who left, and there still are girls today who need to leave, but I think we are seeing a lot of girls leaving the state to go play hockey elsewhere who don't actually need to leave. And a big reason why they're leaving is because they didn't play with the girls growing up. So what they don't have that emotional connection to the other girls to make them want to stay. So what we're trying to do with Kachinas is, you know, offer the girls, this is a complementary option to your co-ed program. We want you to do both. We actually price it in a way that incentivizes them to do both because they get a big discount if they are playing on a co-ed team when they sign up for Kachinas. And so basically we run clinics with them. We have a couple inter-squad games at Gila River Arena, and it's just this really awesome way to continue to build the girls hockey community in Arizona and continue to have a feeder program for when those girls do decide that they need to switch over to girls hockey exclusively. So that's kind of the future. You know, we're obviously going to continue to run Small Fries, but that's sort of the next step as we move forward in the process.
Wow, that sounds exciting. It sounds like a great program and a great partnership between yourself and the Coyotes. And I think little girls down in Arizona are very lucky to have you down there. Continue to blaze trails as you have always done. So good luck in the future, and I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, anyway, Lindsay, thanks for taking the time. And everybody, we have a feature on Lindsay's Small Fries program, which will be in the November issue of USA Hockey Magazine. So check it out. And Lindsay, thanks a lot for the time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, and everybody have an awesome girls hockey weekend.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.